In our present meditation, as we come to the close of the Decalogue, is on the Eighth Commandment, and specifically on lying. The Eighth Commandment of the Decalogue in the Old Testament is worded almost identically in both Exodus and Deuteronomy. In both of which books we have the text of the Decalogue. It says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." As it stands, this commandment simply forbids telling the untruth against another person. The implied assumption is that people do not tell lies about themselves. The human tendency is to tell lies about someone else. I repeat, this is the Old Testament focus. In the Old Testament, therefore, the stress is not telling the truth about someone, especially in court. Thus, perjury against one's neighbor stands out in Old Testament morality. And the concentration of the old law is on the prohibition of lying against another person, even more specifically, in testifying falsely against someone else. Just two passages out of many in the Old Testament. From Ecclesiasticus, I quote, "Lying is ugly blot on a man." And ever on the lips of the ignorant, a thief is preferable to an inveterate liar, but both are heading for ruin. Lying is an abominable habit, so that disgrace is the liars forever. And in Proverbs, lying lips are abhorrent to Yahweh. Dear to him is one who speaks the truth. Our concentration in this meditation will be on lying. by way of anticipation, that will not dwell on this no. Christ did not change the Old Testament prohibition on lying. However, the focus in the New Testament, in contrast with the Old, is not only, though also, that lying is forbidden because it is a sin against justice. Rather, as we'll see at length, Christ's teaching is that we are to use our powers of communication to tell the truth. And the reason for telling the truth is that we are bound by the law of charity. We shall speak in this meditation on what I thought deserved. One meditation just on lying. And the reason is because our modern world is so prone to withhold the truth and to tell lies. Consequently, I will ask just three questions. What is lying? Why do people lie? And how are we to avoid this terrible evil of not communicating the truth? Lying is defined by the church, the Latin, in three simple, though not so familiar words. Lying is locutio contra mentem. Lying is locutio, speech, contra, against, mentem, the mind. In other words, when a person lies, that person knows what is the truth, consciously and deliberately says something which is contrary to the truth. Let's be clear. Lying is not withholding the truth. Because, as again we'll see, we are to keep secrets. And I believe one of the special gifts of the sacrament of holy orders is the grace, well, to keep secrets. No, lying, properly speaking, is that what is on my mind is not what I communicate to others. This failure or refusal to see what is really on my mind. In other words, telling lies may be done by words that are spoken. And that's the usual understanding of a lie. But lies may also be told by words that are written. I was in the 8th grade of grammar school. My pastor, Monsignor John Shuffled, came in once a week to teach us religion. Memorable events. He told us, I think he called us children, 8th grade. I suppose you children think that all the lies are spoken. No. Most of the lies and the most devastating lies are written. I don't know. Only God really knows. But I think most of what is published in the United States is a lie. And I don't say that, believe me, casually. Over the years, and I'm sure I've told you more than once, the modern philosopher of the media, Marshall McLuhan, in a letter that he wrote to my then confessor at the University of Ottawa, where I was teaching, Father Moll showed me a copy of the letter he had just received. One sentence, there are things you never forget. The modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. Amen. The main reason that I thought we could use one meditation on lying so too, and lying may be done not by spoken or written words, but by gestures. Your mind says yes, and you shake your head. And the most effective lies are, shall I say, spoken by the human face without opening the lips. Surprisingly, lies may be made by silence. Let's be clear. Lying is not due to ignorance. It's not that I don't know something and I express myself and I'm wrong. No. I know what the truth is. I know what's on my mind. But I somehow communicate the opposite. Our next question. Why do people tell lies? You might wonder, why spend a whole meditation in a retreat on lying? Because we're living in a world, and it is so hard to know when, whether, who is really telling the truth. In my younger days, I may have told you on some occasion, was on the stage, all kinds of plays, all some very serious and sophisticated dramas, sometimes comedies. One of the comedies was a three-act play on nothing but the truth. I have to say it, as otherwise I wouldn't be telling you the truth. I was the hero or the victim of that play. Took a wager for 24 hours to tell nothing but the truth. Very clever scenario. Lasted almost 2 hours. I lost the wager. Oh, how clever people can be. What pressure. I don't mean physical pressure under torture, but psychological, emotional pressure that people will place us under to pull out of us what they want us to tell them. It's very hard in the modern world, and I mean it, for 24 hours to tell nothing but the truth. So why do people lie? I thought I'd go down the seven capital sins and just a short comment on each one, which in different ways and uses people to tell lies. Pride. We all want people to think well of us. But we know ourselves. And we know we're not all that much, all that intelligent, all that gifted for people to admire us or think well of us. What lives of untruth people can be living. I don't think it is too strong to say that some people are living lies. The pretense, the make-believe. It's lucky I'm talking to this audience. The whole cosmetic industry. I've taught for too many years not to know that people ask questions in an exam, and not just written examinations, but for years, old examinations of my own beloved fellow Jesuits. You ask them a question. They don't know the answer. They lack humility to admit, I don't know. First motive for people telling lies, pride. Lust. What does lust have to do with lying? Answer, everything. Oh, what seduction of the innocent. Through pretending to love another person, and that other person is deceived, and the consequences can be disaster. Over the years, especially in my 5-year tenure on a state university campus, having taught over 2,000 students, what I learned about the young keeping company anticipating perhaps marriage. How many of my co-ed students told me when I asked them, what are you majoring in? They told me, my alias was Dr. Harden. I'm here to get an MRS degree. At least to me, they were honest. We're asking ourselves, why do people lie? Lust is the motive for so much untruth, especially in our modern, sophisticated, sex-preoccupied world. Have the privilege of spending several months under the directives of the Holy See, analyzing the, quotes, sex education in the United States. All the public school systems in the country, and now most of the still surviving Catholic schools, require sex education of the young. Under the pretense of protecting them, say, from AIDS, all clever lies. I don't think I had occasion to tell you in our last year's retreat in the New York public school system, from the first grade all through, homosexuality is taught explicitly, formally, to the younger. children who cannot even read. Colored pictures showing a little boy going out of the house with his father. Mommy and Daddy just had a divorce. So Daddy is walking out with his young son. Next picture. And Daddy is living with a friend. They are living together. And I like it. The friend is another man. Then a picture, first grade in the New York public school systems. Daddy and his friend sleep together. That's why we're having a meditation. One meditation on lying, lust. He is the father of massive lies. We're asking why. Anger. Oh, what pretended kindness or friendship people can show towards one another, that down deep inside they may be seething with hatred. Covetousness, greed. Having been chaplain in a penitentiary for 1 year, oh, those prisoners taught me how clever, well, not so clever because landed in jail, but how clever they were, and they'd boast about their thievery. And of course, they would always disguise. And the cheapest form of lying in thievery is to have a mask. That's amateur lying. Ingratiate themselves with someone whom they want to take money or their property from. Lying as the fruit of covetousness and greed. As so many of my retreatants over the years in giving two men's and two women's retreats every year at our Jesuit retreat house in Chicago. This is standard. 17 years of retreat giving. The men who have a business or employees tell me, Father, the hardest thing in business is to get 8 hours of honest labor from your employees. And the biggest single loss in companies on which they are most heavily taxed by insurance is stealing. And all under the guise of doing business for an employer. Envy is a source of more lying than most people realize. What is envy? As we saw, envy is a sadness that I feel over someone else having what I lack or succeeding where I have failed. Again, how friendly, how nice, how cordial a person can be towards someone whom he or she deeply envies. One reason that I'm going through this sequence is because the one person, and I mean it, the one person about whom most people know the least on the moral level is themselves. How we can mask our envy of other people because remember, we can tell lies not only to others, we can tell lies to ourselves. Sloth. I prefer the word laziness. We've even got words to describe sloth as lying. A busybody. Oh, what we cannot do, how many muscles we can move. And in appearances we are not lazy. We may be the most industrious person than me in the community. But being busy, doing whatever we're doing, is not the same as being and practicing the virtue of industriousness. Over the years, I've given too many term papers to too many of my students, especially in graduate school. Meet the students once a week, 2-hour class. Their grade was mainly based on their come into class, impression I got from them in class. And he would fall asleep during class. But how smart they were, would not get a good grade. Well, those term papers. Announcement was made in the first week of class. I get term papers. I don't see. And the last hour, 72 hours from the end of class to the term paper being turned in, express mail. I never got a term paper by fax. Not yet. and laziness. We don't want to be considered lazy. So what do? Oh, what we can put on. Being busy. Always involved. Oh. But the essence of laziness is sloth, unwillingness to do what I'm supposed to do. Over the years, I've developed a three-ply hierarchy. What is necessary, what is useful, and what is pleasant. Human nature, I can prove it. And let me tell you, if there's one of these seven capital sins that I can identify with, it is laziness. So what do? All kinds of time on what we like. Then there are certain things that ought to be done. The useful things. And that on which we tend to spend the least time, least energy, and the last thing we do is what is necessary. A retreat is not a retreat unless we examine our consciences before God. Here, I don't even apologize for having a whole meditation on lying. And here specifically, covering up our sloth. Finally, gluttony. Is it possible to, be deceitful and practice gluttony? Yes. Little children, they may have to climb on a chair to get the cookie jar. Stealing cookies. Oh, what deceit people can practice, especially in our overfed United States. And pretend that they are, I don't say abstemious, but at least pretend not to be overindulgent in food and drink. In the years of my priesthood, I've given a number of retreats to professed, or shall I say confessed, alcoholics. And they tell me, these are the converted alcoholics. Father, the hardest thing for us alcoholics is to admit that we are alcoholics. To admit that we are overeating in quantity. Oh, it is much more subtle. Overeating and partying gluttony in quality. And I like to tell people my favorite definition of an affluent society is one in which pastry has replaced bread. Oh, the deceit. The deceit. Motivated by gluttony. I'm told by those who are in the profession that clothes are now tailored, and there are psychologists consulted to direct the tailors to produce, well, clothing for men and clothing for women that will not show, well, shall I say, they're overweight. So far from why people lie. All the sinful tendencies of human nature and the seven capital sins are the seven capital sinful tendencies of fallen human nature. Are all the seedbed of lying. I don't believe in my years in the priesthood I've ever given precisely this meditation. And the audience to which I'm speaking has nothing to do with my choice of this meditation. And in saying that, I am not lying. I am dealing with so many people in a world of pretense and of untruth that I thought we should have at least one meditation in our Lord's presence on lying. Very briefly, how do people tell lies? You may be surprised. People tell lies by hiding their deceit. In other words, they pretend to be telling the truth. In other words, how do people lie? By lying to hide the fact that they are lying. In my years, first even chronologically, but then my years in the priesthood, and I deal so intimately with so many souls. And thank God, so many have, as we say, come clean, really, before God. Admit how they're living deep down inside, how they see themselves before God. If there is one strong recommendation I make in this retreat, is to ask our Lord to tell you, Lord, show me where I am not living the truth. Help me, we should pray, dear Lord, first of all, to be the person that you want me to be. And then to live, the truth. Because, dear Lord, when you became man, you are a God. You told us, I am the truth. And if we are to imitate you, well, that's the formula for sanctity. There is no more fundamental way in which we are to follow you than like you and through your grace to be what you want us to be. And then we are living the truth, because only those who know the truth, speak the truth, and live the truth will reach you, the incarnate truth, in that heavenly eternity which is reserved only for those who have been the truth. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.